right, M12, what's up? Who thinks they have a better beard than me? You're wrong. Put your hand down. You all lied. Jesus, I pray that you would just heal them of their lying. No, I'm just playing. So how did y'all have a good new year? Yeah, glad you're back in school. No, I get it. Totally get it. But listen, the new year brings a lot of new things. We have new opportunities to start things, new opportunities to stop things. It's a brand new year. We're back at school. How many of y'all had a good 2013? Yeah? Pretty good 2013? Good 2013? All right. How many of you want 2014 to be better than 2013? See? I get it. No one in their right mind would say, I want it to be worse. No, we want it to be better. So what we're going to talk about tonight is how we can make your story in 2014 better than it was in 2013. We're going to talk about how your story can be the best possible story that God would want you to live. But in doing so, we also need to remember a little bit about where we were, the things that happened last year. Maybe you have a short memory. Maybe the person next to you has a short memory. Just hit them in the head if they do, and maybe it'll like knock you back into sense. Don't do that. Don't be mean. Don't be mean. But hey, here's what I want you to do. Google. Who knows what Google is? Yeah, Google. That like small, tiny little website. Like you type something, it's got like two results. It's pretty terrible. But Google did a review of 2013, the top stories of 2013. And I want you to take a look at it. Y'all watch.
We are now in a position to look at the other worlds of our solar system.
Our values call upon us to care about the lives of people we will never meet.
We realize the importance of light when we see darkness.
Get to that point of acceptance, there's nothing more beautiful.
You know what's really, really sad? What's really sad is that you cheered louder for One Direction and Paul Walker than you did Bat Kid. How dare you? How dare you? So listen up. This is where we're going to go tonight. 2013 was an awesome year. I think every single one of you had a great year in 2013. But here's the deal. Y'all listen up. Where we're going to go in this series is we're going to be talking about stories. And really where we want to land is your story. No matter how old you are, no matter what grade you in, whether you're in middle school, high school, 27, almost 28, Kevin Monahan's like 85, it doesn't matter how old you are, every single one of you have a story. And what we want to figure out is how you can have the best possible story. And we're going to talk about four different things in this series. Four things that you have to decide to do. You have to decide to start. You have to decide to stop. You have to decide to stay. You have to decide to go. There are places in your life that you got to start things. There are places in your life you got to stop doing things. There are places in your life where maybe you need to stay when it's really difficult. And there are places in your life that maybe you just need to go. Maybe God is saying it's time to move on to something new. Let me work in your life and you got to go. But tonight we're going to talk about one of those four, just one. And it's that you may need in 2014 to decide for your story to stop doing something. Maybe in your life there is something you currently are doing that you need to decide to stop doing. Now, a lot of times when we hear stop, we don't like that. We don't like stop. I like to drive really fast. Stop signs are my enemy. I don't like them. I'd rather run them over or throw Coke bottles at them. I don't know. Either way, I'm not a fan of stopping, but here's something I know that's true. When we look in the Bible and when we know about God, when we listen to God's story for you, we know this. Stopping is not always bad. Like if you stop talking right now, that would not be bad. Stopping's not always bad. Sometimes stopping is good. In fact, what I would argue and what I want to teach you tonight is that deciding to stop can be the best possible thing for you. That's the first point of what we're going to talk about. Deciding to stop can be the best thing for you. Now, sometimes that's backwards in our culture, but we got to understand, deciding to stop something can be the best thing for you. Let me explain. I hate more than anything else in the world throwing up. Anyone just a fan of throwing up? Listen, sixth grade boys, drop your hands. This is not time to be ridiculous. You don't like throwing up. What you like to do is lie, jerks. Okay? No one likes to throw up. No one likes vomiting. Maybe there's a movie called The Goonies. Oh, you know The Goonies? Listen, it is 2014. The Goonies came out like twice, probably about 20 years before a lot of you were even born. Okay? But it's awesome. And The Goonies is a story of kids that live a life similar to yours and go on this great adventure. But there's a scene in The Goonies that I love, and it talks about what I hate the most. And it makes me laugh every time. So I thought I'd share it with you. Y'all take a look.
But the worst thing I ever done, I mixed up all this fake puke at home. And then I went to this movie theater, hid the puke in my jacket, climbed up to the balcony, and then... Then I made a noise like this. And then I dumped it over the side on all the people in the audience. Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other. I never felt so bad in my entire life.
Yeah, it's terrible. No one likes doing that. It's like ingrained in us. It is not fun to vomit. It's not. I promise. It is not fun. It is a bad thing. So here's a story I want to tell you. My wife, I'm married. Her name is Larson. How many of you are taller than 5 feet? Raise your hand. All right, put your hand down. Put your hand down. Let me tell you a secret. If you are taller than 5 feet, listen up. If you are taller than 5 feet, you are taller than my wife. She's little. She's little, but listen. That's my wife. If you laugh at her, I will punch you in the throat with my foot, okay? It's my wife. But there's a story about Larson I want to share. Her name's Larson. It's my wife. We met in college. We met at UGA. And one thing that we did is that we like to go out to eat. We love eating. We love to go out to eat in Athens where we went to college when we were dating. But here's what would happen. Some of the time, whenever we would go eat in college, my wife would get sick. She would get so sick that she would have this attack where I'm not playing. This sucked. She would throw up for like 24 hours. It was terrible. She would get so sick that her stomach would bruise because she was so sick. Now, here's what we found out. The reason why she got sick is because of certain foods that we ate. When we figured this out, it became so simple. Stop eating those foods. So when we stopped eating those foods, my wife stopped getting sick. See, sometimes deciding to stop can be the best thing for you. If she didn't want to get sick anymore, don't eat that food. So we stopped eating the food. She stopped getting sick. Sometimes stopping, deciding to stop, can be the best thing for you. Now, food is one side of the world. That's the trivial side of what we get to experience. But here's the deal. The vastness, the vast array of the things that we need to stop are pretty wide. For some of you, the things you need to stop, it may be something like what you eat. It may be something like the way you wake up, the way you treat your parents, something very simple. But for others, it's a lot deeper. It's a lot more serious. Because for some of you, the thing that you need to stop is the thing that you're avoiding. The thing that you need to stop has some pretty serious spiritual connotations. It brings a lot of guilt. It brings a lot of shame. See, every single one of us need to stop something. There's something in your life that you need to stop. If you want to live the best possible story that God could write for you, there's something in your life that you need to stop. Now, it may be something over here like food, or it may be something serious. But I would argue that there's something involved with your faith that stopping will do. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the story of Daniel. Daniel, if you want to get out your Bible, like Kevin said, it's under your chair. And we're going to turn to page 881. I'm going to let you cheat. All of you cheaters. Don't know where the Bible is. Just kidding. There's a table of content. You can use it. Page 881, the book of Daniel. Daniel. Is Daniel in the New or the Old Testament? Old Testament. Daniel's in the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to tell you a story about Daniel. As you turn quietly to page 881, let me tell you a story about this guy named Daniel. Now, Daniel, as you turn there, Daniel was an Israelite. He was from Judah. What we learn about Daniel is that he was young. When the book of Daniel begins and we start learning about Daniel, we see that he is young. But we also see that he is of royalty. Daniel's a part of the royal family. Now, I don't know if he's a prince or he's just in their courts, but he's a part of royalty in Judah. Now, what happens in terms of their story is that they go to war and they get captured, they get taken over, they get conquered by the big bad Babylonians. And the big bad Babylonians decide that they're going to make every single one of the Israelites become one of them. So the whole purpose of this takeover is then to take the best of the best, the cream of the crop of the people from Judah, the people from the royal family. They take them and they try to make them into Babylonians. What we learned about Daniel is that he had everything going for him. Daniel was the smartest guy. He had wisdom. He had knowledge. Says he was attractive. He was a dreamboat. See, if Daniel walked in right now, all the girls would be like, "Ooh, sweet mercy." And all the guys would be like, I don't like that dude. Nope. Don't like him. I could beat him in a fight. Yep, I could. But no, you couldn't. You couldn't because Daniel was the jam. Daniel was the jam. But here's what we know about Daniel. Daniel had to start living out his faith. Because the Babylonians tried to take over and make every single thing that Daniel knew. They tried to make it into theirs. So Daniel had certain ways he ate. Daniel had certain things he did, certain practices he followed, certain cultural things that were core to who he was. Daniel had a faith that followed God. And the Babylonians said, "You're not going to do that anymore. Rather than worship God, you're going to worship our gods. You're going to worship our king. You're going to worship Nebuchadnezzar." So what they would do is that they brought them into their courts, and this is where we're going to pick up. Daniel's facing adversity on every side. The Babylonians are trying to make them one of theirs. And what we see in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, is what happens in Daniel's story. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. To Azariah, Abednego. Some of you may have heard those names before. Verse 8, look at this. Everyone follow along. Verse 8, this is key to the story. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Daniel did what? Let's try that again. But Daniel, it's in there. You can read it. It's a word. Letters. But Daniel resolved. Now the word resolve is the same thing as a resolution. See, at New Year's, people make resolutions. They make resolutions to start new things, to make their life better, to live a better new year than the previous one. But some of the things that maybe we need to resolve in our life are to stop doing things. Maybe you are caught up in something that you need to stop doing. What we see from Daniel's story is that when you decide to stop, deciding to stop does something to you. Deciding to stop increases your faith. Deciding to stop increases your faith. That's the second point of where we're going. Because Daniel's story, his life is a life of faith. His entire story, his whole life, he chose to live out of faith that followed God. No matter what happened, he was going to follow God. So here's what was going on. The Babylonians, the world around him, are saying, hey, Daniel, you want to worship God? You don't want to worship God. If you worship God, that's not the best thing for you. Look at all the fun we're having over here. You don't need to worship God. Listen, that whole thing about worshiping God, that's not going to do anything for you. That's not who you need to be. That's not where you need your identity. That's not the best thing for you. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Because the world around you wants to tell you that the best thing for you, it's not to be here. Or the world would say that when you're here, it's not to listen. It's to goof off. It's to act immature. It's to act like a child. It's to flirt. Listen, I get it. I've been in your shoes. But I'm telling you right now, you can follow the model of Daniel. You can live out a life of faith. And when you choose to live out a life of faith, when you say, the world wants me to go this way, but I'm going to go this way. This is what God wants me to do. That's what the world wants me to do. I'm going to choose in 2014 to follow God. I'm going to decide to stop going their way and start going his way. And Daniel did that. He didn't eat the king's food. He actually went on some kind of a diet, if you will, and he said, instead of the king's royal food, the meat, the wine, what we're going to do is we're only going to eat vegetables and we're going to drink water. And what we're going to do is you're going to see at the end of this that we're going to be in better shape as you train us up to be your men. We're going to be in better shape because God's going to bless that. Rather than eat the food that you want us to eat to worship your gods that sacrifice towards them, we're actually going to follow God. See, he decided to stop going one path and go towards God's. Deciding to stop, it can be the best thing for you. But deciding to stop, it increases your faith. Deciding to stop increases your faith because it says, God, listen, the world's against me. People are going to laugh at me. No one's going to believe me. I'm going to lose my friends. But I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to follow you. Deciding to stop increases your faith. And here's what we see in Daniel's story. The moment he started to live out his faith, the moment he said, I'm going to follow God, God showed up. We know that if faith follows God, then God's favor follows faith. If faith follows God, God's favor follows faith. We actually see it happen in verse 18. Skip one page over, turn the page, go to verse 18. Let's see what happens at the end of the 3 years that Daniel's been trained. 3 years left, Daniel's been trained, watch what happens. At the end of the time set by the king to bring him into his service, the chief official presented all four of them to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. The king talked with them, and he found none equal, no one of everyone that they brought in, no one was equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every single matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his entire whole kingdom. See, God showed up and he blessed Daniel's life. Because Daniel decided to stop doing something. Deciding to stop isn't always bad. It can be the best thing for you. Deciding to stop increases your faith. And when you increase your faith, we see that God's favor follows. So the third thing is that deciding to stop, it brings you favor. Deciding to stop brings you favor. Now the word favor was this like elusive, I don't know what the world this means when I first got here. I've been here at 12 Stone for about 5.5 years. Love getting to hang out with students over at Hamilton Mill. Love getting to hang out with y'all. And one of the things that kind of God's worked in my mind over the last year is really figuring out what is favor. Because when you understand what favor is, you're going to do whatever it takes to get it. It's the most valuable thing in the world, God's favor. So let me explain what favor is. I love to play basketball. Now, you may not think that, but I actually was pretty good. I played in high school. I went to Central Gwinnett High School right down the road. Graduated 2004. And at Central, we were really good at basketball. We went to state 5 straight years going into my senior year. 5 straight years we went to state. And I was good. I actually started. I played on the wing. I played the two. I shot a lot. I was good. I could dunk on a 9-foot goal. Not going to worry about that. Now, I wasn't the most athletic guy, but I was part of a great team until the Thanksgiving tournament of our senior year when we went up against the school, get this, of 80 students. 80. That's like a fourth of you. Their name was Southwest Atlanta Christian Academy. And they had someone on their team that was a little bit of an insurmountable foe. Just so you can understand what in the world I'm talking about, his name's Dwight Howard. You know who Dwight Howard is? Let me tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you. This is Dwight Howard. Take a look.
He's got the cape moving. He's got it flapping. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you win! You win, young fella! You win! Oh, my goodness! They're playing the music! They're playing the music! Oh, my goodness! Oh.
A second straight 50. Oh.
That is incredible! Are you kidding me? Do you see this?
He didn't just dunk it. He threw it through. He threw the ball through. He was up so high, he threw it through.
That is incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
Cut it out.
Put up the picture. Dwight Howard. Okay, look at me and look at him. Dwight Howard was the number one pick in the NBA draft. He is a 7-time All-Star, a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. He is 6'14", weighs 2,087 pounds, and has basketballs the size of shoulders. I said that wrong. Shoulders the size of basketballs. I got a little excited because he's huge. He literally could step on me, okay? Now, in the Thanksgiving tournament, we went up against Dwight Howard's team. Now, I told you we were good. We won the state 5 straight years. And then we played Dwight Howard's team. Do you think that we were winning at halftime? Yes. Thank you for the faith. You're all wrong. We were down 26 at half. Now, we only lost by 25, so we won the second half. But why in the world do you think we lost that game? Duh. Because we played against Dwight Howard's team. We played against Dwight Howard's team. Of course we lost. They won every game that year and won state championship. He was the number one pick in the NBA draft. Now here's the deal. This is what favor is. In basketball, you want to be on Dwight Howard's team. In life, hang on. In basketball, you want to be on his team. But in life, you want to be on God's team. In life, you want to be on God's team. That's what favor is. It's being on God's team. It's God fighting for you. It's God giving you his presence. It's him never leaving. Now, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be sugar fairies and gumdrops, okay? It's not always going to be nice and awesome. But he'll never leave you. He'll show up. He'll fight for you. That's favor, and it's the most valuable thing you can go after. It matters that you go after that. It matters that at 11 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, that you are choosing to fight for your faith to follow God. Because when you have a faith that follows God, there's a favor from God that follows your faith. But in order to get there, in order to get that, some of you need to stop doing something. There is something in your world that is inhibiting your faith. So let's just get real. For some of you, it's the text messages that you send. No, don't ooh. You're the ones doing it. And you may think that you're the only one doing it. You're not. Listen. Don't be immature. Just listen. The text message that you're sending to those guys or those pictures, don't do it. Maybe you need to stop. Guys, the way that you talk to girls, maybe you need to stop. Hey, whoa. Listen. Maybe for some of you, it's the way that you look at yourself. Hey, I want all of y'all to quit talking and listening real quick. The thing that you need to stop, like I said earlier, it can be really trivial on this side, or it can be really heavy and really serious. And there are people in this room that it really matters, and this is a big deal. You're struggling with the guilt and the shame of the thing that you need to stop. I get it. I've been there. Maybe you need to stop looking at porn. Oh my gosh, it happens. Listen. Listen up. Hey, I'm going to ask that you would be mature enough to be in a conversation with me for the next 3 minutes. Don't deflect it. Because in these next few moments, the Holy Spirit's going to press in on some of you. And he's going to let you realize the thing you need to stop. You got to be mature enough to listen. Maybe for some of you, it's stop looking at porn. Maybe for some of you, it's stop sending texts. Maybe for some of you, it's to stop cutting. Maybe for some of you, it's to stop cheating. Stop cheating at school. Stop lying to your parents. Stop lying to your friends. Stop hanging out with that person. Put good people around you. See, this is real. I'm 27 years old. This is the truth. The one thing that I've had to deal with the most in my life at 27, the one thing I've had to work on and get over, happened when I was 12 years old. When I was in sixth grade, I was sitting in your seat. I was in your world. Something happened to me, and I've had to deal with that for the last 15 years. So the decisions that you make for your story matter. What you choose to do with your story, the way that you choose to live out your faith, the things that you're doing, and your decision, even tonight, to stop doing something, it matters. It will affect the rest of your story. And if you want to live the best possible story, the story that God wants you to live, then some of you have got to stop doing something. Now, if you're really honest with yourself, you know exactly what it is. And it's only you. It doesn't have to do anything with the person next to you. You have to choose to stop. So here's what I want you to do. There's a sheet of paper underneath your chair. Y'all grab it quietly. Grab that sheet of paper. All right, now listen up. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to all, everyone grab it and listen. Something happens when you decide to let go. Whatever it is in your life, y'all listen up. Whatever it is in your life that you need to stop doing, it's something that you need to get out of your life. It's something that you need to get rid of. It's something you need to do away with. It's the trash in your life. So listen, what I want us to do, I want everyone quiet. Because for some of you, this is really hitting home and this sucks and it hurts and I get it. And you feel the shame and you feel the guilt and you don't want to deal with it anymore. You don't have to. Because if you want to stop doing something and you want to increase your faith, you know what you have to do? You got to start trusting in Jesus. You're never going to be able to do it on your own, but in Jesus you can. You can find victory. You can find healing. You can find restoration. You can overcome whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever is going on inside your world that you need to stop doing. You have the power to do that in Jesus. But you got to ask him to come in and take it from you. You're not going to do it on your own. It's only going to come from Jesus. Now in my house, whenever we have trash, we throw it away. Because trash starts to smell really, really bad. And it just makes everything else, if it just sits there, it makes everything else stink. So whatever the trash is in your life, whatever thing you need to stop doing, just you, no one else, don't write your name on it, fully anonymous. I want you to write it on that sheet of paper. Every one of you. Because there's something in your world that you need to stop doing to live the best possible life that God wants you to live. I want you to write it on that sheet of paper, whatever it is. Maybe for some of you, it's something deeply personal. Maybe for some of you, it's a little more trivial. It's a little more lighter, but it's something you still need to stop doing to live your story, to live your year, and let it be the best possible one. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to write it down on that sheet of paper. No one else around you has to look. You don't need to look at anyone else's sheet of paper. You don't need to go and try to show anyone else. You write on that paper the one thing you need to stop doing. And what I want you to do once you've written it is that I want you to crumble it up. Crumble it up. I want you to write it down and I want you to crumble it up. And here's what we're going to do. Here's what I know about the trash. This is exactly what I know about trash. Trash deserves to go in a trash can. It deserves to be out of your life. You don't need it in your house. You don't need it in your life. You need to get rid of it. But here's what happens. Listen up. When you get rid of this trash, when you decide to stop doing something, don't take it lightly. If you wrote something down on that sheet of paper and you want to take part in this, then I'm going to ask that you're mature enough to follow through, to try, to pray that God would give you the strength to stop doing it. Because what happens is whenever you give him your trash, whenever you say, God, I can't do this anymore, I need you to take it from me. He takes that darkest thing in your world and he turns it around for his glory. He turns it around and makes it good. He makes your story the best possible one. You got to let go, though. You got to get rid of it. You got to stop doing it. So we're going to have some fun. I have trash cans up here. Now what we're going to do, hold on to your paper, the thing you need to get rid of. At the exact same time, I'm going to count us down. I want us to get rid of it. We're going to throw it away. No matter where you are, when I say, you're going to throw it up here and try to hit one of these three trash cans. And you're going to get rid of it. You're going to stop doing it. But you got to be totally silent. You got to be totally silent. You got to be totally silent. Everybody's got to be totally silent or we're not doing this. You know, be quiet. Quiet the person around you. Be totally silent. Here we go. There are two trash cans on the floor and there's one right here. When you throw this away, I want you to remember this moment. This is a symbol of you saying, God, take this from my life. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm giving you my trash, and I'm trusting that you're going to help me stop. So we're going to try to hit these trash cans, and this is going to be awesome. I'm going to count us down, but you got to listen. You're not going to know when to do it. So I'm going to count us down from five. This is madness. From five, four, three, two, one. Slam dunk. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Throw it away. Nobody hit me, and that's awesome. There it is. Get rid of it. You don't need it anymore. It's trash. All right, go off the stage. Off the stage. Off the stage. All right, now go back to your seats. Go back to your seats. Go back to your seats. That was fun. All right, go back to your seat. Go back to your seats. Go back to your seats. That was awesome. SWAT team. Here's the deal. There's a lot now. I know y'all got some terrible aim. I do know that. But that's not hard. That's not hard at all to throw a piece of paper. And it's not hard at all to stop doing what you're doing. If you trust in God, increase your faith. When you decide to stop doing something, you are doing the best thing for you. You are increasing your faith and you are getting favor. You're getting God's favor. You're on his team. He's going to fight for you. So whatever that thing is that you wrote down on that sheet of paper, I'm going to pray for us that we would have the resolve to continue going after it and to stop doing it. Let me pray for y'all. So Father, in this place, God, I just ask that you would be reverent in these moments. God, that we would be able to glorify you with our thoughts. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would have free reign in here. and that you would speak individually to every single student listening. Because I believe that you are pressing in on our hearts. That there are things we're dealing with in our life that we just need to give up to you. That we need to begin a brand new year by stopping doing something. So Father, my ask is that you would allow us to have the strength to stop doing that. You'd give us the courage to come to your feet, to surrender it, to give it up and to say, Father, I need help. Would you help me stop doing this thing? I want to live the best possible life that you have for me. And God, my ask is that when we do that, that you would increase our faith. Then in the name of Jesus, you would send your Holy Spirit into our lives. You would strengthen us and allow us to find your favor in everything that we do. God, I pray that this moment, this fun moment we got to have together of throwing a sheet of paper, that it would also be something that every student remembers, that they would remember what they wrote down, that they would remember that moment of getting rid of it, and that it would be something that marks their life, and that they would never stop fighting for their faith. Would you be at the center of our lives? Would you be glorified in what we do? God, we thank you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.